You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. Some of the animal rescue stories from the campfire have been amazing and heartwarming, if you've watched some of the videos, too. Pet expert Gina Spadafori is here with some of those stories, and we're going to talk about some of the groups that have been key to helping animals and people and the reunions. Hi, Gina.
Good morning.
So to what extent is there focus on animals in a big megafire, big wildfire disaster?
You know, we saw things change with Katrina all that far back, where before that, that was kind of the bright shining line. And before that, it was like, we'll take care of the people, the animals can fend for themselves. That was pretty much the official thing. Well, a couple things happened. One, the experts came to realize that people would not leave without their animals and putting human lives at risk. So preparing to have animals come with the people actually saved human lives. Beyond the fact that, of course, we do care about the animals as well, but it saved human lives to make sure that the animals were cared for. And since then, we have seen all of these groups put in ready response units to take care of animals, to take these big semis to sites and care for animals. We've seen the vet schools, LSUs during Katrina, just took over the entire veterinary school to care for animals evacuated. And we've seen the vet schools step up. The shelters are better coordinated now. When the fire started, the shelters throughout Northern California swept in and took the pets that were waiting for adoption, so the shelters closest to the fires could have room for the animals that needed them, who are going to be looking for their owners. So it has changed just in my career. It has changed 180 degrees. And part of it is because we have so much more of a closer relationship with animals than we did. But part of it is a realization that saving animals saves people. And also, I mean, you can replace things, but when people come on the other side of a disaster, having their animals is so important to them. It just starts to heal because you have all your entire family together, two-legged and four-legged when you can.
Because you said that, I should say you do have a puppy with you today.
I do have a puppy.
Beautiful.
You can kind of hear him, you know, running around a little bit. He's being very good. His name is Bowie. And as you know, I often raise puppies for friends. That way I have a constant supply of puppies, but I never have to have like 100 dogs.
Right.
So Bowie will be with me until January, and I think we've already got him up on Twitter. He's a real sweet little guy.
What's happening in the campfire zone in terms of animal rescue and reunion?
You know, there's a group called the North Valley Animal Disaster Group, which has probably stepped up to be the top accountant for where the animals are, who's missing what, and what animals are where. Because, of course, these animals are spread all over. They're at the San Francisco SPCA. They're at the veterinary school at UC Davis. They're in shelters. They're in people's homes because people picked up, you know, dogs and cats and even horses and donkeys and pigs and goats. I mean, people have just done everything they can to help these people by getting their animals out of trouble and holding on to them. So the North Valley Animal Disaster Group has got tons of volunteers that are trying to see where these animals are so people can take a one-stop source to try to find them. Because it's really hard when you're coming through a disaster to say, I've got to go to this shelter, look at this shelter, look at this shelter. And let me just add, this is a perfect time to say, please microchip your pets, because your pet may not have had a collar, may have lost a collar. When animals are injured, especially in a fire, they don't look like themselves. Their fur may have been singed off. We're seeing a lot of that, of dogs that look nothing like they look like because they've lost fur, their eyes are damaged. But if you have a microchip, you can be reunited more quickly. So I really can't stress that enough. There's nothing more important in these situations in preparing for them than making sure that your pets are microchipped. And you know, birds and horses, all of these animals can be microchipped, not just dogs and cats.
You're reminding me of that video, I think, from UC Davis of the cat that had its paws all wrapped up, but it was in a box and reunited.
I saw that
with
one.
Its owner.
I saw that one.
I think there's kind of a two-way effort happening here, pets to people, people to pets. In some cases, people won't find their pets. In some cases, pets won't find their owners.
That's correct. And that is the scope of this tragedy is, I don't know, you can't even, it's beyond comprehension. And when you're looking at those many people who are already confirmed dead and still missing. You know that a lot of those people up there, especially in rural areas, they had pets. And those pets are going to never be reunited because the people aren't there. Or they're in situations where they can't keep them anymore because they've lost everything. And relatives or friends may not be able to step up because they're in the same situation. So we are going to see situations where even people can find their pets are going to have to find at least temporary homes and foster homes for those pets while they try to put their lives together.
That does say a lot about the adoption effort that's going to have to be ongoing. Let's say something about the care of animals and their burns. The most extreme and highly publicized cases were, again, the UC Davis use of tilapia,
yes,
skin on the bear's paws.
Wasn't that amazing?
From the Santa Rosa fire last year. But just those ordinary burns on the pads of cats and dogs, it seems that that's a recoverable injury.
Yes, I think the more severe ones we really don't know, the long-term effects are the ones you can't see. The livestock in particular did not come in. They were out through all that, the worst of the air quality. My own horses and goats and chickens were out. I lost a hen. She was an older hen. Where the air quality was a contributing factor or the reason, you know, we'll never know. But the particulate these animals have inhaled, we just don't know the long-term damage that's been done. And the veterinarians are saying to make sure that these outdoor animals don't go back to work right away if they've, you know, they're riding horses, just give them a lot of time to just recover, keep them hydrated. And if you see any situations like coughing or very quiet, then make sure that your vet checks out. Otherwise, they just need the rest and then time, the tincture of time.
What kind of science is there on animals and the exposure to wildfire smoke? It's a new and growing field in terms of humans, so it must be even in more infancy, I would guess, for animals.
The very interesting thing about all research into animal and human health, it's called something called One Health, is veterinarians and physicians working together because we're all mammals. I mean, basically, we're all mammals. And so you see a lot of things start in animals that are of use to humans and vice versa. That this is also something that's new in veterinary medicine, this One Health movement of realizing we all have to work together to share the data because many of these situations are going to be similar. You see this especially in cancer research, where sometimes things that work in humans are used for animals, mm-hmm. and sometimes research that's being done in a clinical setting, you know, your own pet might go to be part of a trial that will help animals and people. So there's a lot of crossover in this research, and a lot of it will be applicable for both. But of course, with a lot of these animals, since they couldn't come in like people could, they had a much higher rate of exposure that's probably on par with the people up there, with the first responders. And these are all things that are going to need to be watched.
You're listening to pet expert Gina Spadafori. We're talking about animals in the campfire and in general wildfire disaster zones. Do you have a story that's been sticking in your mind that you've been repeating?
The one that sticks to mind, it was fairly early in the fire. I don't know if you remember the lady and her horse who rode out.
Oh.
And then she had to leave, and she left the horse. She had to leave the horse with first responders there. And the horse is just an amazing picture of this beautiful horse, yeah, who had taken her out, saved this woman's life. And then all the smoke and the darkness all around this beautiful horse and the first responders. And then a couple of days later, she was reunited at a stable. Now, she's still not, she lost her home. She and her horse can't return to it. But they both made it out, and they were reunited. And I think possibly as a horse lover, you know, that really struck with me because a lot of times the best you can do for livestock is turn them loose and hope that they can be found again.
If you think at all about the land, it's not much of a step to understand how much wildlife, how many birds, how many lizards, how many all kinds of animals in between in that spectrum of living creatures that call a forest home would have been lost in this fire.
It's unimaginable, and the biologists will be working with that for many years, not only seeing what's been lost, but how it changes and how it recovers. But yeah, thousands, hundreds of thousands of animals, I'm sure.
So there are relief efforts dedicated to animals. Our CAP Radio reporter Julia Mitrich was in the area yesterday and reports that the Butte County Farm Bureau and the Butte Ag Foundation have an assistance fund that is for animals related to the campfire. Again, monetary donations so that things like food and housing and other maintenance can be paid for is really the best route for donating.
Yes.
And the group that you mentioned, NVADG, same thing, cash donations.
Cash donations.
So we will post a link, and there is a website to donate to, and they have a Chico address. Are they based in Chico?
I believe so. They've also put out, if you can like their page on Facebook, they've also put out a couple of notices for physical help in unloading semis with food and hay and whatnot. So follow their page and see. They'll let you know the ways to help them at whatever particular time.
Sorry if this is a curveball, but the Red Cross, in its emergency relief, does it cover pet care now?
I believe the Red Cross has some shelters, and that's been one of the big changes. They never did. But I believe that they do now have shelters, not all of them, but some shelters that do accept pets because of the much greater awareness. But I'm not sure if they're up in Butte County. I think it's been just a massive volunteer. And I think that's, you know, we've talked about that before with disasters, that in the age of the internet, the ability to hook up money and volunteers really does help to get a massive army, almost too much sometimes, as you say, because sometimes they can bring the wrong thing or be in the way. But these groups can let people know what's necessary and let people who need the help know where to go, where to find their animals. And it's just a It's one of the bright spots, I think, to see how people help each other for helping other people and also helping the animals, because we know how important those animals are to those people.
Hmm. I'm thinking a lot about tomorrow, about how Thanksgiving will be in the fire zone. I do want to, since you're here, talk about pets and Thanksgiving, what animals can and can't eat and how to keep them safe.
The biggest thing that will happen at Thanksgiving is people will give fatty foods to pets who aren't used to it, and you'll end up at the ER with pancreatitis, which can be lethal, but can also just be really miserable and awfully expensive as an emergency. The other thing is you often have people who are not used to being around pets, so especially your older people. You might have a great aunt who's a little unsteady on her feet, and you don't want your big, goofy Labrador to jump up, so make sure that you're protecting the people as well as the pets. Things like the biggest thing that I actually got caught on, I was visiting friends and I left some medication in a carry-on bag, which I knew better, and it was unzipped, and I came down a hall to find a nose in the bag. Nothing happened, but I was like, oh my gosh, Gina, you know so much better than that. So make sure if visitors put their medications in drawers or, you know, behind cupboard doors or whatever, nuts, raisins, any kind of treats, get those off the county coffee tables because your pets will just come by and snarf them up. So those sorts of things, alcohol, not funny. I mean, a lot of people. Marijuana, you're seeing a lot of animals that will eat the edibles. So make sure that anything that you know, your common sense will tell you, make sure those things are out of reach. And don't give anything, a little bit of white meat turkey is fine, but stay away from the fatty foods for the dogs and cats.
All right. Well, once again, I'm wishing you a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
And you have a perfect
you
puppy.
You didn't answer my side dish.
You know, I was thinking about this as we were talking, because every year I do ask you your side
ravioli
dish.
Ravioli.
Yes, always the favorite. She brings the Italian to the
Spot
Thanksgiving.
Always have ravioli for Thanksgiving.
Dinner table. Bowie is a perfect pup,
He's
too.
A very
He'll
nice
be good
puppy.
Over the holiday. Thanks a lot, Gina.
Thank you. And have a nice Thanksgiving.
To everyone still working on this time that we're in with the fires. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio.